Let's talk about peace. I ever so often, I feel led to share a message about the peace of God. There are so many powerful truths concerning having God's peace in your life. Now, when you got saved, the Bible says that you were reconciled to God. You and God are at peace. You're no longer at enmity with God. You've been reconciled. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God through our faith in Christ. That's the power of the gospel. And when you think about peace, there's peace, the peace that deals with our relationship with God. There's peace that deals with our relationship with other people. And then there's peace that has to do with our inner self, being at peace with ourselves. And that's different than peace with God. I'm talking about the peace of God, ruling in your heart. You can be at peace with God and yet the peace of God not be ruling in your life. Now, the Holy Spirit lives in you, believer, but peace is one of the ways, I think it's one of the most powerful ways that God guides us. It really is. When you start losing your peace about something, truly losing your peace, then that's an indicator the Holy Spirit's trying to get a message across to you. Something's out of line. Something needs to shift, adjust, change. There may need to be some repentance. There may need to be some restitution. There's different things that can happen when we lose our peace. So I want to just talk to you about peace a little bit. And the first thing I want to share with you, we'll kind of begin with something very basic, is that peace is a family identifier. Look at Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Being a peacemaker, that is someone, being someone that it is important for you to live in peace. And so you want to contribute to an atmosphere of peace. You want your relationships with others to be good, solid, and healthy and whole. You certainly want your relationship with God to be that way, and you want to be at peace with yourself. And Jesus, in his early teaching, some of his first teaching when he began his public ministry, he said, the blessing of God is upon peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. God's children are to be peacemakers. You know, the Bible says, if you remove the scorner, the strife will cease. Some people feel called to create conflict. Now, I don't think it's the Lord calling them to that. But the Bible says remove the scorner and the strife will cease. There's some people, and usually it's because that person's not at peace. They've lost their peace, or maybe they never had peace. But they generate a lot of strife around their life. It's like when you're at the beach and they put up the red flags because the undercurrent's so strong. You get out in the water and you can feel it pulling you down, pulling you under. And some people have so lost peace, or who have never had peace, and they're so filled with strife internally, with strife and conflict. That's what radiates from them. That's the influence that's on them. And it's like wherever they are, stuff is just stirred up. There's strife. There's conflict. Well, the answer is found in becoming a peacemaker. And the ultimate peacemaker is Christ Himself. I've already shared that. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The Bible also says there is one of royalty that's actually called a prince. He's the prince of, and who is he? Jesus. So he's the Prince of Peace. He's the one who gives peace. He is the ultimate peacemaker. So as believers, our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We are to live our life in Christ. He is the peacemaker. We should be peacemakers. In our marriages, we should be peacemakers. Now, please understand, Jesus, the ultimate peacemaker, never compromised on truth. He never compromised his integrity. So when I'm saying be a peacemaker, that doesn't mean, well, just throw your morals out the window if it'll keep peace. Just go ahead and do something wrong if it'll keep peace in the crowd. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the true peace. The peace of God is holy. It is pure. It is steady. It is strong. And it aligns with Scripture. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You don't want to create the swirl in your life that just pulls people under, holds people down. Be a peacemaker. Second thing I want to share is found in Isaiah 26:3, and I love this scripture. This tells us that peace is a result of godly thinking. Isaiah is saying you as to God, you will keep him, that is the person, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If you want to have the peace of God fill in your life, and you want to be able to live with that undisturbed feeling, when peace is there, there's not that disturbance, that chaos inside, that feeling that something's not right here, something's off. Peace. It comes as a result, notice, first of all, the person is trusting in God, looking to God for peace. And secondly, constantly focused on God. Godly thinking brings about perfect peace. Keeping your thoughts centered on God, keeping your trust solid in God, then the Bible says the Lord will keep you in perfect peace. Now, we're in the Hebrew there in Isaiah, and the word peace there is the word shalom. And the Old Testament word for peace is kind of an all-encompassing word. It means wholeness, soundness, wellness, to prosper. Some have said it means that nothing's missing, nothing's lacking, nothing's broken. Or we could say it, you're fulfilled, you have what you need, everything's in order, everything's in alignment, everything is as it should be, you are blessed. And this is the promise that God will keep him in perfect peace. Notice, God is able to keep us in that place of peace when our thoughts are on him and our trust is in him. Get that. He keeps us in that place of peace, perfect peace. That's a kind of a compound meaning there. I mean, not just peace, but perfect peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Wholeness, soundness. God keeps us in that place when our trust is in him and our thoughts are on him. Okay? And there's a New Testament equivalent to that that we'll probably get to tonight in Philippians 4. It's beautiful. But this is a powerful promise, particularly when it comes to if you're struggling with anxiety, being overly stressed out, having trouble keeping your thoughts ordered in your mind, because this is a promise of first order. If your thoughts are first on him, then the Lord helps you keep order in your life. I love it. Let's say this one together. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When we're trusting God, we're thinking about God. When we're trusting him, our thoughts are upon him. And so there's going to be, the enemy's going to be working overtime trying to distract your thoughts, trying to create doubt, fear, unbelief, trying to get you thinking on peripheral things instead of being centered on, you know what, I don't understand on this, all this, I don't know how this may work out, but Lord, my mind's on you. I'm trusting you. And then we have that promise. It's like he's saying that, okay, since you're trusting in me and you and your thoughts are directed toward me, they're on me, now I'm going to help you keep order in your life. I'm going to help you stay in that place of perfect peace. This is a refrigerator verse, okay? It really is. It's a good one to meditate on. It's a good one to remember when panic knocks at your door. You don't open the door. You visit peace in the living room of your soul. You go there and you visit that place of peace. Because the Lord promises to keep you there in that perfect place of peace. There's no situation that God's going to be twiddling his thumbs trying to figure things out. There's never going to be a situation like that that you'll encounter in your life. You'll never face anything that he doesn't have the answer for. You'll never face anything that he can't overcome. You'll never face anything that he can't see you through. You'll never face anything that you can't have victory in if you keep your thoughts on him and your trust in him. And I'm not trying to minimize the struggle. I'm maximizing the promise here. God will honor his word. The struggle is in keeping our thoughts on him. Let's go on. Next thing I want to talk about is how peace is a social stabilizer. You need any stability in your social life? In your relationships? Well, here's a word. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. Now, let's break this apart quickly. First of all, it says, if it is possible. Well, I thought with God all things are possible. Well, they are with God. But you may be in circumstances sometime in your life. You see, God honors, God recognizes human will. He told Adam and Eve, eat of all the fruit of the garden but this one tree. In other words, that was the guardrails. That was the boundaries. But he honored their ability to make a wrong choice. Sometimes you may be in a situation with someone and you've tried to make it right. Maybe you were in the wrong initially. You've repented. You've asked for forgiveness. Maybe they were in the wrong. Either case. But you've done everything you know, like, I forgive you. I'm not mad. I don't want us to have conflict. I want things to be, what can I do? You know, how can I make this right? But there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you say that makes a dent in it. It's like their door is closed. It's deadbolted. And there's no response. That happens sometimes. Unfortunately, there's been a number of times in my years in the ministry, I've had to sit down across from someone who had stories like this. I came home from work. Everything was packed up. It was gone. They left me. I didn't see it coming, didn't know anything was wrong. Sometimes they may say they found someone else and they're gone. And they make the decision. You're just left with, how am I going to respond to the decision they've made? There's a sense in which they have made decisions for you. Because now you have to make decisions. And sometimes it's, you know, you always forgive, but you may not be able to reconcile. It's like that door's closed and there's no getting through it. But this scripture says, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, you keep your heart open. You don't become bitter. You know, you be open to forgiving, working things out. Again, that may not mean reconciling. Don't misunderstand me. But it doesn't mean you have to live without peace in the relationship or that you have to live in bitterness. Certainly, you shouldn't. So as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Simply put, don't do things that contribute to the conflict. Do what you can for there to be peace. And that's important. And sometimes that's very difficult. But God helps us in these situations. Because we're to be peacemakers. We want to live in that perfect peace. We don't want to allow things... Let me say it this way. We do not want to allow decisions that other people may make that contribute difficulty to our lives. We don't want those. We don't want the decisions of others to cause us to make decisions that we can't live in that perfect peace. Listen, you can have made some of the worst decisions a human being can make, be forgiven, be cleansed, and live in perfect peace. Now, that doesn't mean you may not have to deal with the consequences of choices you've made. Okay? For instance, there are people, just about any prison in the country you want to go to, that are there for very heinous crimes they have committed. But you can go cell to cell, and you're going to find a number of them that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ behind those bars. And they're much more free behind those bars, really, than they were outside those bars. They have a peace they never knew before prison. Why? Because they met the Prince of Peace. Now, they're having to still suffer the consequences of those choices, but yet they can have perfect peace. They can be at peace with God. They can be at peace with others as much as lies within them. So this scripture, this puts some accountability on us not to contribute to the conflict, not to stir the pot unnecessarily, so to speak, and to have a heart that wants to find the place of peace in situations without compromising. Let's talk about how peace is a devil crusher. I like this one too. By the way, you could add to this one, Ephesians 6. We went through the spiritual warfare series two or three months ago about the sandals of peace. You know, I explained to you how those Roman soldiers had those spikes and how the sandals of peace enabled them to maintain a solid ground and advance against the enemy and then trample the enemy. Here in Romans 16:20, Paul concludes the book of Romans by saying, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Beautiful imagery here. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. You see, when we're at peace, it's like we've got a force shield around us. It's like there's a protection around us, our heart and our mind. And we'll see that scripturally. But peace contributes to our ability to trample the enemy under our feet. The God of peace will crush Satan under whose feet? Your feet. This is something that will happen in your life, that God can do in your life because He's the God of peace. And for that peace to work that way in our life, we have to be at peace. We need to be in the place of peace. Galatians 5, we see that peace is a fruit of following Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then the rest of those. But we're talking about peace tonight. Peace is produced through the Holy Spirit living in us and through us. But implied in this is that we are submitting to the Holy Spirit. We are following the Holy Spirit. If the fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace, then He's not going to lead you to create a bunch of sinful conflict. That doesn't mean there may not be hard things you have to deal with, but you can deal with them in God's way without losing your peace. We yield our peace. I mean, it's not like somebody can steal your peace. We yield our peace. We give up our peace. We choose to distance ourselves from peace. That's how we lose peace. It's not taken from us. Sometimes we lose our peace because we don't hold our peace. Fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. Now that also tells me that we can't manufacture it on our own. We can't find it apart from Him. Someone out in the world without Jesus may say, I'm living a peaceful life. And by that mean, they may mean, I don't have a lot of conflict and disturbance going on around me. But they don't have the peace we're talking about tonight. That only comes through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and as a produce or fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I think every one of us here tonight, me standing, you sitting, all of us together individually, we know whether or not we have this peace tonight. Or if we've lost our peace. Or if our peace is being disturbed in some way. This is something that we can know. We're told here in John 14 that peace is also described as a gift from Jesus to us. He told His disciples in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That perfect peace that I'm talking about tonight, that peace with God and the peace of God, when we have that and it's right, I mean, everything's as it should be, that's the same peace that was in Jesus when He walked the earth. Because He said, my peace I give to you. Think about what He faced, what He endured, what He put up with, what He still puts up with, right? What He had to face, what He had to battle, and yet He never lost this peace. He's always tracking in alignment, in harmony with His Father God. Never lost His peace. That's so beautiful. And that same peace, He says, I give that to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. See, there's a difference between His peace and the world. Here's what you get if you sell out to the world. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What the world gives, it results in tribulation and conflict and chaos and so forth. When this peace is present, notice, it also gives us power over fear. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's like He's saying, okay, I'm going to leave you with some peace. This peace I have, I'm giving it to you now. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be, don't let your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. So when we're feeling really troubled, or fears rising up, We need to focus our thoughts on Him and trust in Him so we can have that perfect peace. I love this one. This is one of my favorites too. Colossians 3:15. Peace is an umpire, referee. Peace is an umpire to call balls and strikes. This and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We were called to a place of peace as a body of Christ. And we should be filled with gratitude to Him. And He says, that peace of God you have, you let it rule in your heart. That word rule in the Greek can literally be interpreted, serve as an umpire. Just like in a baseball game, you got the umpire behind the catcher, right? And he's watching what's coming down the pipe. ball. That means it's out of bounds, right? It's out of the zone. If it comes right down the middle in the box where it's supposed to, strike! And that's what you want to swing at. That's what you want to go for. But if it's outside that box, you don't want to be swinging. And he calls balls and strikes. Now, interestingly, this scripture tells us, again, this is one way that God governs and guides our life is through the presence of peace. When we're looking at a something outside the zone coming our way, it's like a referee blowing the whistle, or like if you're playing basketball and the ball goes out of bounds, the referee blows the whistle and the other team gets the ball. Peace serves that function to let you know what's in the God zone and what's not. What's in the bounds of Scripture and what's not. These are those holy hunches that come like, yeah, this feels right. Feels right. We even say things like, I feel peace about this. That means we feel like God's breathing on this. This is right. This is God. This is good. Now, we should always double check, okay, this decision that I'm thinking about, that I feel peace, does God's Word say it's all right for me? Oh, it does? Okay. Now, it's lining up for me. And I have confidence that I'm in the will of God. But sometimes, our old man, our flesh, our natural desires, we want something, and we can talk ourselves into we can talk ourselves into believing that God wants it for us. I remember buying a car that way. You know, we kind of like, Lord, you know, should I buy this car? Well, he's not telling me not to. We kind of do that because we want it so bad. And then when you find yourself 2 years later on the side of the road with the motor blown, maybe that I was feeling was God after all. Yeah, that's peace. When you get that something's not right about this. Now, here's where we have to be careful when we're getting that something doesn't feel right. If we're not careful, we can think that means it's a very wrong, evil, sinful thing, which in fact it may not be a wrong thing at all. It's just not right for you, or it's just not time for it, or it's for someone else and not you. Are you hearing me? So we have to be careful not to get into wrong judgment and just make it personal. The Lord's not giving me peace about this. So then I don't need to take that and turn and tell everybody else, you know, you're going to be in sin if you do that. Now, some things, yeah, if the Scripture is clear. But I'm talking about on things that are outside that boundary. Because there are some things that are better for us than other things. And there are some things that they're bad for us. And then there's everything in between. But peace helps direct us. It's like an onboard GPS system to let us know, like the little woman in your car or man in your car that talks to you, you know. And sometimes it's frustrating. I know on our recent trip, you're going somewhere, but okay, you see a McDonald's over there and you want to drive through and get you a quarter pounder and, you know, you don't want to go in and eat. You're in a hurry. And so you turn to go to McDonald's and it tells you, make a U-turn. Go, you know, it tries to get you back to where you're going because it doesn't understand that you want a quarter pounder. But learn to follow peace. Peace. Let the peace of God rule. Somebody's going to be ruling in every decision we make. Somebody's ruling. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule. That's one way that God lets you know that it's Him, that it's okay or not okay. Now, again, if the Scripture is clearly saying it's not okay, then you're not going to get peace about that from God. You may try to substitute it with feel good or human reasoning or logic, but you have to learn how to let your peace rule. And the way to keep it clean is try as often as you can just to stay true to that. Don't override it. Don't override it. If you do, repent, get forgiven, and get back on track. Here's the Philippians 4:6. And forgive me for the "and" that should be "a." I didn't double and triple check my thing there. I didn't delete all of it. It should be "a guardian to protect your heart and mind." And this ties in with that Isaiah 26:3. Be anxious for nothing. So that tells us what the Lord says about anxiety is not good for us. Don't get bent out of shape in worry and in anxiousness. But in everything by prayer. Here's your weapons against anxiety. Pray, supplicate, and be grateful. And then talk to God about it. Let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. Now look what happens. When anxiety comes or when it's rising up, when we do what God says, then God will do what He says. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I love that phrase because that tells me I don't even have to try to figure out or understand why I'm at peace when I shouldn't be. It says it surpasses understanding and it will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That word "guard" is literally a military term, like a soldier that would guard a gate and not allow anyone in that gate. The peace of God will be like a guard in your heart and your mind so that anxiety can't get in. Beautiful promise concerning God's peace. Amen? Now, this is kind of a skipping a rock across the subject of peace tonight, but take this and let it rule in your heart. Realize it's a gift from Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in your life. You can have that wholeness. You can be at perfect peace. Keep your trust in God. Keep your thoughts on God. And realize when that's true, you're going to be a peacemaker. And you'll be able to live as much as possible at peace with all men. Amen? Well, let's stand. And we want to have prayer. And there's going to be a few of us in the altar after the amen. If you need prayer tonight, we invite you to come up and receive prayer. If you just need somebody to pray with you, if the Lord's leading you to make some type of decision, you want to seal that in prayer, I invite you to come. I'm going to ask some of our prayer team members or some of our staff just to come on up and be here and be ready for you. We're going to pray and then you'll be dismissed. We have our community Bible study in the morning at 10. You're invited to that. Again, hope to see you on Sunday. And be praying that God would move mightily when we come back together here. And would you also please carry in your heart some continued prayer for this situation in Dadeville. It's very heartbreaking. And it's terrible wherever it happens. But that's on our turf here in Alabama. So we need to man up and woman up and pray. Amen? Well, Father God, I bless you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I believe most of us in this room tonight want that perfect peace to fill our hearts. That peace of God to guard our minds. And Lord, I pray for any here tonight that are stressed out, that are troubled, that the enemy's trying to get them into panic mode. Any who are anxious, any who are heavy laden, I pray that before they leave this place tonight, they would find the place of rest and the place of peace that only you can give. You are so kind. You are so gracious, Father. So loving and so merciful. Touch those aching hearts tonight. Touch those troubled minds tonight, Lord, in this place. Holy Spirit, have your way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that God's peace would guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I pray that His grace would abound in your life. I plead His blood over you, your family, your children, your children's children. I pray that His blessing be upon you, that your storehouse be blessed, your bank accounts be blessed, your health be blessed, your relationships be blessed, your spiritual life be enriched with the Word of God, full of the Spirit of God, bearing the fruit of God, flowing in the gifts of God. I pray that the anointing, that precious anointing, that powerful anointing of the Holy Ghost would come upon you and energize you to walk with victory in the storm you may be in, to be an overcomer in the conflict that may surround you. I speak peace over you tonight. His peace. His peace He gives you. May it flood you full this night. And may you lay your head on your pillow tonight. And may your sleep be filled with His peace. And may you be made strong in spirit, strong in soul, and strong in body. Now I charge you in the name of the head of the church, the commander of the army of the Lord, the Prince of Peace Himself. Go forth and change this world. Let your light shine. Be salt. Be pure. Be holy. Be a lover of Jesus with all your soul. In His wonderful name, the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. This altar is open.